And good morning. Happy Easter to you all. All right. It's good to be back in the pulpit at Rock Lake, although I would probably prefer to be down with sitting with my wife. In retirement, I certainly don't miss preaching at Christmas or really any other Sunday, but I do like to preach on Easter, so glad for this opportunity to share God's word with you today. As we get ready to hear God's word, will you join me as we bow in prayer? Let's pray. Holy God, even as you open the tomb on that first Easter morning, we ask that you would open our hearts, our eyes, our minds to the reality of the resurrection, that we might embrace your love and, like Mary, run to proclaim the good news. Amen. Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel according to John from chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And this is John's account of the resurrection. Listen for the word of God as it's found in the Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, Mary Magdalene said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What's your favorite Easter memory? Maybe it's from a time when you were a child, could have gotten woken up to a giant Easter basket filled with chocolate rabbits, chocolate eggs, peeps, and some jelly beans. Maybe you got a special outfit for Easter. Or maybe you remember Easter dinner at your grandma's house. Giant baked ham, scalloped potatoes, green beans, hot rolls fresh from the oven. Or maybe for Easter you remember new shoes that looked good but hurt your feet. Or an outfit that was so scratchy you couldn't wait to get home from church to take it off. Those may not actually be favorite memories, but those are the things you remember as a child about Easter. Or maybe your favorite Easter memory comes from when you were an adult, setting up an Easter egg hunt for your kids or your grandchildren, watching them scamper around the yard looking cute, even though they had no idea what was going on. Or perhaps you remember an Easter sunrise service at the beach when you're on spring break, though perhaps you remember more the sun rising, the sound of the surf and the seagulls more than you do the sermon from that day. A lot of our Easter memories probably include candy, food, or clothing. They may or may not involve the Easter bunny, although if you're a certain age, you may have actually gotten a real rabbit for Easter. Or if you're a certain age, maybe you got little peeps dyed in pastel colors that probably died before the week was out. This was long before the rise of PETA and put an end to that kind of good intention stupidity. I suspect that for many of us, our Easter memories involve fluff. Not that there's anything wrong with fluff. I probably love those little foil-covered chocolate Easter eggs as much as, or maybe more than, most people. But whether we're children or adults, it's hard to get our minds around Easter, about the reality of the resurrection. It's easier to deal with fluff. But if fluff keeps us from grasping the resurrection, for the first Christians, it was fear that kept them from dealing with the reality that Jesus had risen from the dead. And it's not that Jesus hadn't given them a heads up and told them that this was coming. Three times in the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples that he will suffer and die, and that's the awful truth. But the good news is that on the third day, he will rise from the dead. Jesus tells them this three times. But each time it goes over their head, it goes in one ear, out the other. They don't really get it, but they're too afraid or too embarrassed to ask. And maybe they think everyone else knows what he's talking about here, but they don't want to look stupid, so they don't ask any questions. Even though probably every college professor we ever had told us there's no such thing as a stupid question. Now, obviously, the disciples didn't go to college, so they didn't have the opportunity to hear those good words. Although those of us who did have the opportunity to go to college and heard those words over and over and over again didn't let them sink in either. We probably didn't ask too many questions, although I should have. If the disciples had asked Jesus what he meant, what he was talking about when he told them that on the third day he rise from the dead, if they could have grasped what he was saying, if they could have remembered that truth, then watching the crucifixion, waiting for the resurrection, waiting out those 3 days wouldn't have been so bad. Yes, watching him suffer and die on the cross would have been painful. And hoping that Jesus was right, that he was going to be raised on the third day, would have created some suspense. But they could have held on to that truth. And so on that first Easter morning, the empty tomb would have been joyful instead of shocking. They would have been relieved instead of flabbergasted. It would have all made sense to them instead of leaving them bewildered. They were not able to get their heads around what was happening on that first Easter morning. And in that sense, they're no different than we are. We hold on to fluff, they hold on to fear. But what the resurrection tells us is that God keeps promises. God promises to remember the covenants that he's made. God promises to hear the cries of the people when they're in slavery. God promises to lead the people through the wilderness and into the promised land, into the land of flowing with milk and honey. God promises that if they don't keep the covenant, that they'll be driven into exile. And God promises to hear their cries when they are in exile, when their eyes are open, when their hearts turn and they come back to God and cry out to him for help. And God promises to bring them back home. All these promises come true. And when Jesus promises us that he will suffer and die and on the third day rise from the dead, he keeps that promise. God keeps promises. Jesus keeps promises. And the resurrection tells us that there will be a life beyond death, a life beyond what we know. It's the same, and yet it's different. Mary Magdalene doesn't recognize Jesus when she first sees him. She's not expecting him. And the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, walking with Jesus for quite a distance, they don't recognize Jesus either. They're not expecting that he's really alive, even though they've heard the news of the empty tomb. Mary recognizes Jesus when he says her name. The two disciples in Emmaus recognize Jesus when he breaks the bread. It's the same Jesus. And yet he's different. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul goes on a long excursus about the differences between our bodies now and our bodies then. They're different bodies, but it's still us. And we don't have to get caught up in the details about these resurrection bodies, because the details don't matter. We won't have to pass a quiz or write a paper about the differences between our bodies now and our bodies then when we get to heaven. On this side of eternity, all we have to do is trust God, that God has it all figured out, that God knows what God's doing. And whatever it is, whatever our new bodies will be like, they will be good. It will be a blessing. And we can believe that we will enjoy those new bodies, that new life that God has given us in our resurrection. The resurrection that God has promised us on the far side of the grave. The bottom line is the resurrection assures us that God loves us. That's what we need to know. Basically, that's all we need to know. God loves us. In a way, the resurrection is God's love letter to us, that it will be all right. It's easier to deal with fluff. It's simpler to let fear get in the way. But God offers us love, a love that always keeps promises, a love that lasts forever, a love that's always available to us even when we get distracted by fluff or blinded by fear. May God open our eyes to the reality of Easter, the reality of the resurrection, the reality of God's love. For when our eyes are open, then we can truly celebrate something better than chocolate candy, something better than shoes that fit and clothes that don't scratch. With our eyes open, then we can embrace a love that goes far beyond our understanding, a love that will be ours for all eternity. Amen.